Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, on this week's program, we have an interview with the House Minority Leader, Ryan Lane, coming up in the next segment. But I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. One is this whole thing with Donald Trump possibly being arrested for something that I thought was settled in 2017.
Yeah, it's amazing how that a judge listened to the case with Stormy Daniels and said, no, I don't believe so. I think it even got appealed, entered the appeals court, and they said no. And then it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. They refused to hear it. And so that's been greatly disproved. But then also her lawyer was found to be guilty of corruption and other problems. He's either serving prison time or he's at least been proven guilty. And yet they're coming after Trump. Everything they're saying has been disproved. They're coming after him. The Republican Party today put out a statement. If we're going to investigate Trump for stuff that's already been proved innocent, why is it that we're not investigating the governor who paid hush money? She admits that. That's been absolutely confirmed. $150,000 to the young man that was sitting next to her in one of her cabinet meetings or one of the meetings, and she grabbed him inappropriately, and he brought suit, and somehow that suit went away when he got $150,000. Later, another $72,000 showed up in her campaign funds for legal defense, and no explanation, but the only legal defense it looked like she was mounting was to defend herself against this crotchgate problem she was facing. So you have to ask, does the hypocrisy of the left know no bounds? That's a key question.
You remember when Donald Trump said the COVID virus came from Wuhan, China, and everybody called him a racist. Now that the Republican Congress is investigating this, turns out it came from a lab in Wuhan, China.
And again, when the whole of media and the whole of the left politicians begin to chirp in chorus, then you better watch it very close, because they're trying to set up a narrative that will somehow cause people to believe that the truth is not the truth. And so the truth of the Wuhan virus came out early from Trump. Then the chirping chorus went into work. People began to believe, well, it didn't come from China. Now then all of the documents are showing that it did come from China and did come from that lab in Wuhan. There's great evidence that Bill Gates was heavily funding that lab. And so you start saying, okay, I don't like Bill Gates messing around in the world health situation much at all. What's he doing over there funding these things? Also looks like the NIH, National Institutes of Health, which receives all of its funding from the U.S. government, it looks like that they were funding some of this research too. And so you think, okay, there's far more here than I feel comfortable with. And having seen the government in operation up close, I think there's a lot of validity to all of the things that are now being pointed out.
The big issue right now for Donald Trump possibly being arrested is that it's not illegal, I guess, if he paid hush money personally, but if he took it from campaign funds. That's what they're going to have to prove.
Again, it's absolutely confirmed that the governor did that. And so where is the outrage?
And again, this has already been through the courts in 2017. And now what? They want to come back with some new evidence?
You're not supposed to be able to try somebody for the same thing twice. That's called double jeopardy. And the Constitution protects us from that. And it protects us from that for simply this reason here, because they're trying to create enough legal cost to break Trump financially. They were able to do that with General Flynn. He finally pleaded guilty when he was being taken into court, but then they went after his son for something that didn't make much sense at all. And in order to get him to lay off the son, he said, okay, I'll plead guilty. Later, then he said, hey, they were extorting me. And he said, no, I'm not guilty at all. And so the double jeopardy is in there for a reason. Now, Donald Trump is going to survive one way or another. This will be one of the moments that is remembered in history. We all remember the day that, if you're alive, you remember the day that John Kennedy was assassinated. You remember what you were doing. Remember what you were doing when the Americans landed on the moon. You'll remember the day that a president was indicted. This is beyond belief. But you know, the backdrop to the whole story is this attorney general in New York had promised publicly that he was not going to bring charges against anybody in nonviolent things. Nobody. And he's let some people out for some pretty rough stuff, never even brought the charges. And here he is bringing these charges. And so it's obvious that this is just a witch hunt. They're worried about Trump in the 2024 election. I don't know if he's going to win the Republican primary. I don't support him. I don't support any candidate. As the chairman of the party, you can't support a candidate when it's a contested primary. So I'm not supporting anyone. And he may or may not win, but the Democrats obviously think that he would beat any of their candidates, so they wouldn't try to destroy him like
that. That's what the polls are showing, and the polls are showing him winning in the primary, and Ron DeSantis hasn't even gotten into the race officially, but it shows him beating DeSantis and even beating Joe Biden right now. Now, we're a long way off from the election, of course, but the polls show right now Trump was beating Joe Biden if President Biden runs again, I think, by 11 points. That's way beyond the margin of error.
Yeah. And so that's what this is all about. I think that it's going to only enhance Trump's reputation. I think it's going to backfire on him. Again, I'm not sure that he's going to be the candidate for the Republican Party, but I will guarantee that this is not going to hurt him nearly as much as they think. And it could hurt the Democrat Party a lot for them to be bringing these false charges against him.
President Joe Biden issued the first veto of his presidency this last Monday on a resolution to overturn a retirement investment rule that allows managers of retirement funds to consider the impact of climate change and other environmental, social, and governance factors when picking investments.
Yeah, so what is going on? The Democrats are trying to affect these large investment funds to where they have to put money into green projects, whether they make money or not. You remember the big Solyndra deal. That's where the U.S. government put $500 million into this company that was supposedly going to create solar energy, and it went bankrupt, and that was taxpayer money. $500 million went down the drain. Now they're trying to say that every single retirement planner out there has to do the same thing, put money into these green projects. What they should be doing is putting money into the projects that make the greatest return for their clients. And that's not good enough for the Democrats. They want to starve out Republican businesses. They want to starve out the businesses that can succeed and feed these that can't get funding on their own. People don't invest when they think of an idea as a failure, but if they think it's a going concern, then they're going to invest money. And the Democrats are trying to say that every investment advisor has to listen to their rules on where to put the money. So the Republicans passed a bill saying, no, you can't do that. You know, this is especially important in our Social Security. The Social Security has got several different funds, and almost all of them are bankrupt right now. That means that we're having to print the money to pay Social Security checks, and that game can only go on so far. But if the rate of return on Social Security was the same as the average market, each person in Social Security would have upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars to retire on instead of the pittance that they're receiving right now. That's the result of bad investing by the people who manage the Social Security accounts. And now then the Biden administration is saying they've got to, by law, put money into things that are going to be failures. They're basically just stealing money from the retirees and putting it over into companies that would not succeed on their own.
Well, obviously, if they were good investments, you wouldn't have to force people to do it. They would want to.
But, absolutely.
All right. Ryan Lane coming up in our next segment.
Yeah, I would like to, at this point, say a big thank you to all of our legislators. That 60-day session is rigorous. I've lived through many of those. Late nights, hard committee hearings. You're outnumbered by the Democrats. You know they're pushing bad bills all the way through to the governor, and she's going to sign them. But I will tell you that the Republicans in the Senate and the Republicans in the House of Representatives stood their ground. They were able to kill very scary, dangerous stuff. One of the biggest things they did was save our doctors. The progressive Democrats were going to put in provisions that would have made it impossible for doctors to get malpractice insurance, and they would have left the state in massive numbers. And thanks to the Republicans by themselves stood up for the doctors and saved health care in New Mexico. So when you see your legislator, Republican, give them a big round of thanks. A Democrat, ask them why they were trying to take your guns, why they were trying to drive the doctors out of the state, and why they wanted New Mexico to be the late-term abortion capital of the country.
I will be right back with Ryan Lane on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. On the telephone with me is Representative and House Minority Leader Ryan Lane. And Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Appreciate you having me on. And just got out of a long, grueling 60-day session, and I'm happy to report I'm still alive.
You survived. You should have a T-shirt made. I survived.
I survived the roundhouse.
Yeah. You haven't been in the state legislature for years and years and years, like a lot of folks up there. So how was it for you? What was it like, and especially now being the leader?
I honestly think there's something wrong with me because I absolutely love the legislature. I truly do. It's stressful, don't get me wrong, and it's long hours, but the work we do is so important. And so I'm grateful to be able to do it on a personal level. It's very fulfilling work. It's work that we need for New Mexico in terms of just the trajectory of our state. We need people that are strong conservatives that can articulate positions. We need those folks to step up. And so I'm privileged to be able to do it. And then, as you mentioned, it is different now for me that I'm serving as leader. It's a completely different role than just being a member. So my priorities take a back seat, and I'm there to show up to make sure my caucus is protected, taken care of, that their initiatives are making it through. And then in a lot of things, I lead the effort in terms of fighting against some of the progressive left and what their agenda is.
For folks that don't know, you're an attorney there in Aztec, New Mexico. How much does that experience come into play in this role?
Being a lawyer is an unfair advantage in the legislature, I would say. So we're trained, obviously, in the law, but then also in terms of how being able to debate, understand arguments, look at things, I think, from a different perspective. Some people say there's too many lawyers in the legislature, but I honestly think there's probably not enough.
Well, I think it probably helps keep us from wasting time passing bills that aren't legal.
Exactly. There's a little thing called the Constitution that apparently matters. So
one hopes so, yeah. So let's talk about this session. First, we'll start with what you thought were the good things for New Mexicans that got through.
Well, I can tell you that as Republicans, actually, we had a very good session. We led the fight on medical malpractice reform. So there's a coming tsunami when it comes to our independently owned outpatient facilities. They were staring at a raise of the medical malpractice caps up to $6 million, where currently it's at $750,000. And then that was set to go in next year. So we were able to lead the fight on that front to get a bill passed that'll permanently keep the cap at $1 million, which means all of our independently owned outpatient facilities will be able to stay in business, which is huge for our rural areas especially. We also led the fight on Medicaid reimbursement rates. Over half of our state is on Medicaid. And so, again, with our medical industry, with that volume of patients being on Medicaid, the reimbursement rates were shockingly low. So we led the fight on making sure those are increased. From an educational standpoint, we got a couple of bills passed, one including changes to our education savings plans, 529 accounts. And so now, and this is, I think, huge, now New Mexicans will be able to spend money out of those 529 accounts on private K-12 tuition, which has never been the case before in New Mexico. We killed a number of anti-energy bills that would have led to increased fuel prices and energy prices. You know, we led the way on that. We were strong advocates protecting our constitutional rights, including Second Amendment rights. There were numerous gun bills that were introduced, and really only one that made it through, and it really won't make much of an impact. So even though we're sort of Gideon's army in terms of numbers, we really were able to accomplish quite a bit this session.
And that's not just a benefit for Republican New Mexicans. That's a benefit for all New Mexicans.
I agree. So I know as sort of politicians, we tend to look at things in partisan lenses and blue and red, right and left. But I think the average working class New Mexican that's just trying to make ends meet and pay the bills, I mean, they're interested in making sure that the legislature doesn't negatively impact their lives, that they're able to put food on the table at the end of the day, and they just want to be left alone to live their life. And so I think from that perspective, too, it was a good session.
It didn't seem, from the press releases I saw, of course, I wasn't there like you are, but from what I saw, it didn't seem quite as partisan with new leadership on both sides as it has been in the past. Did you get that impression?
I can speak from the House. I think that's probably true for the Senate, but I just wasn't there, so I can't speak of personal experience. But from the House, I can tell you that was intentional with me serving as leader, Speaker Martinez as the brand new speaker. We were both intentional about trying to set a culture to where, yeah, we're absolutely going to disagree on policy, and that's the way that the system is designed, actually. But you don't have to be disagreeable in that process, and we can lead with a culture of respect and honor. And that's, I think, what both of us were committed to, and I think that was the good result.
It seemed like there were some Democrats that even crossed over and voted with some Republicans to either block bills or help get Republican bills through. So I think that's what New Mexicans want, is just work together and get something done.
Yeah, you're right. There were, both in committee and on the floor, there were a number of bills that had bipartisan either support or support against that ended up killing the bill ultimately for the bad bills. So I think that there is sort of a changing culture, so to speak, when it comes to doing what members feel is best for New Mexico and not necessarily what the progressive left would dictate.
Now, let's talk about some of that progressive left. What are the bills that you were unhappy about that made it through?
So it's mostly social bills, what I would describe as social bills. So nothing that really, at the end of the day, is going to drastically change industry or the economy or anything. So it's good from that perspective. So when I say social bills, so for example, bills that unfortunately I think separate parents from children when it comes to things like, you know, as the common lingo is gender affirming care, those kind of decisions, that the way that the bills were drafted, it could require local schools, municipalities, those kind of local governmental entities to get involved in an arena that I don't think they have any business being involved in. So unfortunately, the social agenda of the progressive left, they were able to get some bills through on that front.
One of the things I was concerned about and apparently didn't make it through, but it came close, was that family leave bill, because in my opinion, as a business owner, it should be up to me whether I can afford to pay somebody to stay home sick and pay to replace that person. Now, I know we would pay a tax into a state fund under this plan, and then the state would pay the sick leave. But who has the money right now to pay the extra tax for that?
Yeah, and like I understand, like you have employees, and I own a business and we have 15 employees, and we actually really value our employees and take care of them. And so I understand, like, okay, we need to have this position where we value our employees and make sure they know they're valued. But what this bill did is it didn't just put a tax on the business, it put a tax on every employee. It wasn't just the businesses. So we were going to tax the employer, we're going to tax the employee, and then we were going to inject all of this money from taxpayers to create this fund that, if you look at it actuarially, I'm not even sure would be solvent in the long term. So I understand, like, okay, let's figure out that if you get in a bad wreck and you're going to be out for 10 weeks, we want to figure out how to work with you to make sure you stay employed. And I can understand that perspective completely. But we can't do it in such a way where it either drives small businesses out of business or it puts this tax on employees where they are yet further trying to make ends meet.
Well, and it was kind of broad in what was sick leave. It's not just the employee that was sick, could be a family member. And how distant a family member, I'm not sure that it specified how far out that goes. An uncle, an aunt, a cousin, you know, if you have to take care of. And like you, I agree, by the way, my employees are covered. We pay sick leave anyway. So now I would continue to do that, but have to have paid into that fund. So it doesn't seem quite fair.
Yeah. And like you said, the way that that family is defined, it's not just husband, wife, son, and child. It got into the realm of unmarried people and well beyond, I think, what typical FMLA would cover.
I'm talking with Ryan Lane. He is the minority floor leader for the state of New Mexico in the House of Representatives. And we will be right back with more on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They're highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with our minority floor leader from the New Mexico House of Representatives, Ryan Lane. And Ryan, far as the gun bills go, you mentioned there was only one that made it through. So they're not going to come and take my 10-round clip away from me. I have to find a, won't have to go find a 9-round clip.
So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Second Amendment, I wish I could say I was joking when I said that the ridiculousness of the bills are introduced, but I'm not. But I can tell you the only bill that passed and was signed by the governor was what's called the so-called safe storage bill. So basically, if you have minor children and they gain access to your firearm and they discharge a firearm or use it to commit a crime and you hadn't properly secured the firearm, then you can be guilty of a crime. But it's very, very nuanced, very down the road. And frankly, I'm a gun owner. I own multiple firearms. I know people that own multiple firearms. We are literally the most responsible people when it comes to firearm management. So this idea of that I leave a gun lying on my bedside table so a four-year-old can grab it, I think is just fiction. And so the bill, although I don't like it, I think it's really just a political victory lap more than anything. The real bills that were introduced that would infringe on your Second Amendment rights, like a 14-day waiting period, or you have to be 21 to own a firearm, or you can't have a clip with 10 or more ammunition capacity, all of those bills we were able to successfully kill. So that was the good thing when it comes to firearm legislation. But, I mean, as you know, this game goes on perpetually. So we won the war this year, and we'll have to show up to, you know, to battle again next year because these things come year after year after year.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is, we already have laws against using a gun. If you kill somebody, yeah, that's already illegal. How many more laws can they pass that the criminals will ignore?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the whole reason why black markets exist and everything else is a law in and of itself doesn't curb behavior. It allows for punishment at the end of the day, but it doesn't necessarily curb behavior on the front end. So why are we focusing on bills that are going to limit the rights of law-abiding citizens?
How about the Voting Act? I'm going to get a absentee ballot now, whether I want one or not. Is that what's going to happen?
So there's a couple things on the voting side. So now, if you are not registered to vote and you go and have a transaction with the DMV, that would be something like getting a real ID or something along those lines. You will be automatically registered to vote. And we argue till we're blue in the face that if people want to be registered to vote, that's great. Let's get people registered. We want as many people to participate in the democratic process as we possibly can, especially as conservatives. I think we're going to win on that front. But you have the right to vote, but you also have the right to not vote. And while I may not agree with that decision, that's well within your rights. And so why are we forcing people to be registered when they go to get a driver's license? It makes a little sense. The other thing is we are creating these permanent absentee lists. And so if you want to be added to a permanent absentee list, New Mexico will now have that system.
How about the drop boxes where you can just go drop a ballot in? And it's been said people have made copies of ballots and dropped a whole bunch in. They're not monitored. They may have a camera on it, but nobody's watching it.
Yeah, there's technology in terms of monitoring it. But the issue is if I, as you said, drop off 15 ballots and there were, say, 12 people that went through that night to drop off ballots and everybody else dropped off one, the way the system and the technology operates is you're not able to track which of the 15 I dropped and which the other 12 people dropped. So it's not like there's a separate counter, a separate meter. And so I think there's some issues surrounding that. But yeah, the drop boxes are here to stay.
It's interesting. The absentee ballots could backfire on our friends on the Democrat side. Steve Pierce tells me the Republican Party of New Mexico is raising more money now than the Democrat Party of New Mexico. So when we have a majority, if that happens, and there's a majority of Republicans voting in New Mexico, that the automatic absentee ballot may backfire on them.
I agree. And the reason why I think that's the case fundamentally is I think the message of conservatism rings true with people as they, I think, begin to live their lives and age into their lives. I think that the principles behind conservatism start to make more sense, that there's a reason why the United States is the best country in the history of the world. We are formed on these principles of the rule of law, of a free market economy, of individual liberties, that the Constitution exists to enshrine and defend those. And those kind of concepts, I think, start to ring true with people as they live their life. And I think as long as we stick within the rules, there's no reason why these absentee lists wouldn't grow for conservatives as well.
I'm talking with Ryan Lane. He is the minority floor leader here in New Mexico. And Ryan, do you think there's any reason for the governor to call a special session now?
You know, I've heard the rumor. I don't believe it, although I will say that in my first term in 2 years, I'm supposed to have 2 sessions. I had 5 sessions in my first 2 years. So this governor does seem to like special sessions. But if she were to call a special session, I've heard the rumor around, say, firearm legislation, it just makes no sense to me because all of the attention is now focused on what is a very controversial issue. Even rural Democrats, firearm ownership is extremely important to those folks, and as it should be, it's just not a popular stance. And the reality is we just got out of a 60-day session, and if you can't get a priority through in a 60-day session and you feel like you need to bring the legislature back, I think that's telling also from a leadership perspective. So I frankly don't anticipate the governor calling a special session.
Any final thoughts before I let you go?
I just appreciate the time. And again, I know that New Mexicans watch the legislative process, and as they should. And I think we're, as House Republicans, committed to making sure that parental rights remain intact, that we continue to make the economy a place that will grow. We want to attract business to New Mexico. We want to improve the educational system. And those are our focuses, I know, as a caucus. And we had just a really good team this session, and we're looking to continue on that.
Minority Floor Leader Ryan Lane from Aztec, New Mexico. If you've been listening to our broadcast today and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.